side of...
Proceed straight.
Well, we're 0-6. Last chance is the Elmhurst Country Club. Other side of the lake on the southeast side.
I don't get it. I really don't get it. I thought this would work. Do everything I had at that guy, nothing.
That's how it goes sometimes, you know? You lose everything, and everything falls apart, and eventually you die and no one remembers you.
That is a very good point, Dwight.
Make a right turn.
Wait. No. It means bear right.
No.
Up there.
It said right. It said take a right.
No. Look. It means go up to the right, bear right, over the bridge, and hook up with 307.
Make a right.
Maybe it's
turn.
A shortcut, Dwight. It said go to the right.
It can't mean that. There's
look,
a lake right there.
I think it knows where
straight.
It is going.
This is the
lake. Machine knows.
This is the lake.
Stop yelling at me.
No, it's up there. There's no lake
here.
Remain calm. I have trained for this. Okay. Exit the window. Here we go.
Make a U-turn, if possible.
Look out for leeches! Michael! Are you okay? Swim for it! I got you! Michael!
Let go!
Let go of Michael!
Come on!
I got you!
All right. I love that clip so much. So as you can see from example, sometimes we don't always follow the best advice or trust the right voice, right? It can lead us down a path that we don't really want to go. Or sometimes we fool ourselves thinking we're on the right path and then you end up in a lake. But oftentimes we don't realize our foolishness until it's too late. Think about different times in your life when you've made a decision to do something with your friends and you're like, man, this will be so much fun. And then you do it and you're like, well, that was really dumb. I probably shouldn't have done that. I mean, we've all been there, right? It's just kind of life. So throughout Proverbs, we are presented with these two decisions, these two options, or these two paths, the path of wisdom and the path of folly, or the path of righteousness, the path of evil, or light versus darkness. And so it gives us these two opposing ways to follow that we can follow, and it encourages us to seek out the path of wisdom. So Solomon is trying to share with his son this wisdom. He's trying to impart this knowledge. It's basically like, here's the secret that you can have this fullness of life if you go down this path over here. And so let's see, we're gonna be in Proverbs 4:10. And we'll see what it says about it. It says, "Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of righteousness, of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble." So he's imparting him on this in this advice of how to live this life of fullness and purpose and joy, which comes when you're going down this path of wisdom. So there's two paths. Proverbs 4:18-19 says, "But the path of righteousness is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." So there's two paths, one of righteousness and one of wickedness. And so it gives us this contrast of light versus dark. And Jesus even tells us in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And in 1 John 1:5, it says, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." So notice all these connections to the light, to Jesus, and how it brings, or he brings life and fullness, clarity, righteousness. You know, I spoke a few weeks ago on a similar topic, and I talked about how wisdom kind of gives you that discernment to know what to do in situations, to know what to do before you're even put in this bad situation. You know the choice you're going to make beforehand. That's wisdom. And so God lights the path for us. He makes it clear to us, and he guides us in life in these decisions. And over again, he says that the good path brings life. Look at verse 13. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Verse 4. Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Verse 22. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all flesh. From it flow the springs of life. So this path of wisdom brings fullness of life. Now, that doesn't mean that it's an easy life, like life is smooth sailing. It means that there is a joy, like a deeper joy, one where you have purpose and direction. But think about the opposite. Think about natural consequences that happen in your life. When you cheat, you get caught. When you gossip about your friends, eventually they find out and they lose their trust in you. When you make bad decisions, eventually it catches up to you. So making decisions on this other path eventually catches up to you and naturally causes this own destruction. Verse 19 says that the way of the wicked do not know over what they stumble. It's kind of like with Michael Scott with that clip. You know, when you're in this path of darkness, you don't even realize the decisions you're making can be destructive or harmful until you're already in it. There's this fumbling in the dark. I mean, have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and you need to go to the bathroom or you need some water or something, and you're like, you don't want to turn on the lights, so you're like fumbling around, right? I always end up finding like the shoe on the floor or the laundry basket and tripping over it every time, even though I could, with my eyes closed, I know I could walk everywhere in my house in the dark and know where I'm going. But yet somehow, because I'm blinded by the darkness, I still will trip over everything. I'm stumbling, or I'm like trying to shut the door quietly, but you can't like gauge where the actual door frame is. And so then you shut it and I end up like slamming the door every time. But the darkness blinds us. And so that's the idea here with the contrast of light bringing this fullness of light. The darkness, or the way of folly, blinds us to the reality of the consequences that we make ourselves. Riley and I are taking our time reading through Harry Potter's one at a time. I'm trying to make it like special. And so she and I read the fourth Harry Potter together for the first time. And so I am crying through the whole ending, which she thought was weird, but it's not, because it's really sad. But what was sad is that I knew the ending and she didn't. And I'm sitting over here like, but anyways, so at the end, there's this shift at the end of the fourth book, because Voldemort is coming back. Sorry if you haven't read that. But they know that there is about to be these decisions and people are about to choose sides, and it's about to get really hard in life because of him. And so Dumbledore actually tells Harry, he says, "We must all face the choice between what is right and what is easy." So wise. Basically, he's saying you could take the easy way, you could hide, or you could just choose the other side so you're not getting persecuted, or you can do what is right, and you can stand up for what is right and what is true. And so this is the way for us. Choosing wisdom, choosing the path of God, is not the easy way. It's not the easy path. If it was, then there would probably be a lot of believers like around campfires singing Kumbaya like all over the place. But they're not, because it's not easy, right? It is, what is easy is it is easy to follow the world. It is easy to follow what everyone else is doing, because we want the comfortable life, right? We don't want to be told what to do from God or other people. We want to do what we want to do. And it's easy to follow what the culture is doing, regardless of if it's honoring or not honoring to God, or how destructive it might be to yourself. It's just easy. But we shouldn't want to take the easy way out, because that's darkness. That's stumbling. That's not even seeing the folly or the consequences that are going to happen, because you're blinded to it. Jesus tells us in Matthew 7:13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." So again, this narrow path, this more challenging path, is the one that brings life. It reminds me of this trail that Ben and I hiked when we were in Costa Rica, and it was steep. And it was long, and it was really hard. It was very exhausting. But at the end, we got to swim at this. I mean, how beautiful is that? So, I mean, it was worth it to get to this waterfall at the end of this really hard, steep path. And that is how it is. Following God is not easy. There's going to be bumps. There's going to be hard choices. There's going to be friction, even among friends and with people, of decisions you have to make. But in the end, it's something so beautiful and so worth it, because you get this relationship with the Father and you get a life of meaning and purpose. Jesus even warns us and says that the world will hate us because we love the Lord, because we're God's children. Because the way of the world and the way of God cannot coincide. Those are two different things. I was reading the other day, and there was this passage that said that if you're not wise in one area of your life, not only does that mean that you're choosing the opposite of wisdom, which is foolishness, but also that you have a problem with Jesus, which sounds kind of harsh, right? But let's think about it. So if you're choosing to not go down the wise path in certain areas of your life, like the way you treat people, or how you handle your relationship with your boyfriend or girlfriend, or what you're choosing to watch or read. If you're unwise in just that area, that means you're not choosing the way of Jesus. So if you're not choosing his path, then you're on a different path, essentially, because everyone is following something, whether or not you realize it. You're either going this way and you're following Jesus, or you're over here and you're following something else. But these two paths don't go to the same place. This passage in Proverbs is about our everyday life. And I think we can tend to separate spiritual life from our everyday life. And we think like, oh, God only cares about what's over here, right? Like, I went to church, I didn't lie to my parents, and I prayed. So we're good, right? That's all he cares about. And everything else is kind of just neutral. And, you know, as long as I'm a good person, it's probably fine. But no, God doesn't care about little pieces of your life. He cares about your whole life. And our actions reflect what is actually going down deep down on the inside, what we actually believe about God, even in the little things. So this path of wisdom starts with Jesus. I mean, Jesus even says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So that means you must know the person of Jesus, who is the embodiment of wisdom, if you're going to be able to walk in the way of wisdom. So your daily life reveals who you are following, even in small things, even if we just skip out on school that one day, even if we just lose control and we yell at our parents, like all these little decisions, it all starts with Jesus. A few Wednesdays ago, I was with the 10th grade girls, and we were talking about how sometimes life can get bogged down, and you're just so focused on all these other things that it almost starts to feel meaningless, right? Like, why am I having to do algebra again? Why am I having to do chemistry? What is the purpose of this? But listen, everything has a purpose, because everything comes back to what you believe about God. The way you approach these things shows your belief about God. And so Jesus is the center of it all, and he gives us purpose in the mundane too. But if Jesus isn't driving you, then what is? So all throughout this chapter, it not only tells us to choose the wise path, but it tells us how, and it's by seeking out wisdom. This is what he says in Proverbs 4:7. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Now, I've never liked this verse, because you read it, and you're like, okay, so the key to wisdom, getting wisdom, is to get wisdom. Okay, cool. Then what? It doesn't seem like very good advice to me. But I think what he's trying to do is he's trying to show just how simple it is. It's not about some rare opportunity or luck that you're just hoping maybe y'all get wisdom. It's about a decision that you make. You just do it. Like, even Nike has it figured out. You just do it, right? If you want something bad enough, you go for it. And so nothing in your life is going to change as far as, like, if you have, you're wanting to make a goal of, like, getting better at this sport or exercising, or you want to start reading your Bible more and be disciplined. Nothing's going to change unless you make the decision to do it. If you decide that it is important enough to you to do it, then you will. Otherwise, nothing will change. It's not just going to happen. You have to decide and plan to do it. So it's saying, if you want wisdom, then seek it out. Commit to Jesus and make the decision. It's waiting for you. Wisdom is here. God has right here waiting for you. You just have to make the decision to seek it out. Proverbs 4:14 says, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on." So it's not just about not putting bad stuff in. It's about, or it's not just about keeping the bad stuff out. It's about putting the good stuff in. So like with food, it's not just about not eating the bad food. It's about putting the good food in to fuel your body. It's not just about not watching this one sexual scene over here. It's about watching something that is going to be life-giving and honoring and enriching to you. Not just avoiding one thing, but choosing the good thing. So with direction, the direction we live our life, and we don't just stay still, we're always moving towards something. It's in life, it's not just that you don't want to be the bad person. You don't want to just avoid the wrong path. It's about this intentionality of setting your sights on the right path, on the path that brings life and fullness and joy and healthy relationships with God and with others that comes from that. One of my favorite verses is Hebrews 12:1-2. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." So it says, looking to Jesus, like your eyes are set on Jesus. So he is the one that walks with us in this. We aren't alone in here. And God provides us a community of other believers who are following in the same direction. But it also says that Jesus perfects our faith. I think about the very first verse we read in verse 18. It said that the path gets brighter and brighter until full day. So it's the idea of sanctification, of growing into the person of Christ. So living a life full of wisdom is an ongoing process. It's not like you just choose the path of wisdom and then all of a sudden you magically have all the answers. You spend your life growing in wisdom, a little more every day. That's why it's a path and not just a waterfall you're jumping off of. Proverbs 4:25 says, "Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure." So if you're going to seek out wisdom, then you have to be facing the right way. If you're going down here, you got to be set and facing here. It's that intentional decision. So it says that to ponder the path of your feet. So you're not stumbling blindly in a dark room. You're thinking through the steps you're taking. Where are you headed? Where is this decision taking me? What is happening with this decision, and what is it showing about what I believe in God? A couple years ago, I got a new bike because I found out I had done a triathlon with my old bike from middle school, which apparently was a youth size bike. Probably should have thought that went through. And it was a mountain bike, too. So I was extremely slow because mountain bikes are not meant for on the road. And it was just awful. So I got a new bike that's actually an adult-sized bike. I fit it. And it's really nice because it actually drives on the road. But what's super fancy about it, which I think all new bikes have, is there's like the water bottle holder at the bottom of it, right? I quickly found out, though, I am not coordinated enough to ride my bike and also reach down and get the water bottle. I don't know. Can anyone do that? Are y'all able to do that? Okay, that's very talented. I mean, for real, though, as soon as I bend down, the whole bike is like, I'm like, okay, even looking at my watch. So I'll have, like, my Fitbit here, and I'll just, like, quickly tap it, right? The second that I take one hand off and just reach over, I'm already swerving. And, guys, I'm actually, like, a good biker. I've been doing it my whole life, right? Like, I'm not a professional, but I know how to bike. Like, enough to where I feel like I could do it with my eyes closed. However, the minute I take my eyes off the road, I start to swerve, start to go off the curb. And this is similar to how it is with God. Like, we may know, like, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I'm going to be faithful. But, guys, you got to keep your eyes set on God. Because the minute we start looking over here and we're like, what are they doing over here? Like, I would rather be doing what this is, or we lose focus, or we're focused, you know, on this over here, then that means that your focus is off of God, and you're not set your sights on him. And we can lose sight of his goodness and his truth. And we can start to veer off. I mean, that's probably why the Bible tells us over and over and over again to, you know, ingrain, get that word, God's word ingrained in your heart. Engrave it. Wear it at the forefront of your eyes. Keep his word. Do not forget it. Because that's, his word is reminds us of what is true and good. And his word keeps us grounded and it keeps us stable, even when our feelings are not keeping us stable. So your eyes need to be set straight ahead on Jesus, because he lights the path and he is the wisdom we need. So what does Jesus' life look like? WWJD? Well, there's your example of wisdom, of what that looks like. So seeking out wisdom means seeking out Jesus. And so you have to ask yourself, what path am I following? What am I focusing on? What am I reaching towards? And is it Jesus? Is that he the path that I'm choosing? Because we have to make a decision there. All right, I'm going to pray and then we can break out. God, we thank you so much that you do give us your word, that you lay out your not just your law, Lord, but your wisdom and your love for us to have freely. God, and we just thank you for that. And I pray that we can make the decision to set our sights on you and make the decision to go down that path, Lord, because we know that you are right there ready to walk through it with us. And we thank you so much for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.